All right. I'm an addict in recovery. My name is Zach. By God's grace, God's mercy, I'm clean today. I want to thank Joe R. and the Hackney Committee for asking me to come out and share. My clean date is March 9th, 2015. So I've been clean a little over 7.5 years. So I just love this program and what it's done in my life. And where I'm at today compared to where I was. So the topic today is coming out of our Living Clean book, page 4, bottom of the page. It says, our self-made prisons no longer serve us. We are free to explore and discover what we are good at. We are free to participate, create, care and share, surprise ourselves, take risks, be vulnerable, and stand on our own 2 feet. We find our beliefs and begin to act on them. We make decisions based on our values. We walk through our fear and wake up to the miracles that surround us. We are free to be who we are and live as we choose. You know, and I thought about kind of how I was going to tie in the topic, and I was kind of hoping something else would come to me because I feel like I share about this a lot, but I know that I can't come up here and just share some stuff. I gotta share my experience, right? My experience is my truth. My experience is going to help somebody. My ego, right, is going to hurt me and it's not going to help you, right? So before I share, I ask God to free me of my ego and help me carry the message. And through the process, through the 12 steps, first, I just want to say thank you to my sponsor. He's not here today, but I've been with my sponsor for 7 years and have built that relationship and that trust and that therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Like, I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't have something inside of me trusting my sponsor to be able to let some stuff out. Like, I have so much freedom today because another addict came in my life and allowed me to open up. Through the 12-step process, I found out that I locked myself up at 9 years old. Right? I locked myself in a prison at 9. Right? And then I didn't let myself out until I'm 33 and 6 years clean. Right? Like, I didn't, like, put the key in the door and walk out that prison until I was 6 years clean and had worked the steps, like, about 3 times until I finally got to the root of what was, had me locked up. You know, I share about this all the time, but it was like a real pivotal part of my life, man. At 9 years old, I engaged in sexual activity with my brother, and it went on for years, right? So at 9 years old, I knew something was like, I didn't know what was the truth in that, right? Or I just knew that I didn't want to tell nobody, and I didn't want anybody to find out, so I put them 4 walls around me, and, that was that prison. It talks about in the book that we become a chameleon. Like, anybody I was around, I blended in with everything and did whatever I could not to feel. Even in recovery. Right? Because even have wrote down the step work and processed it, there's action behind that. There's got to be action. This is a program of action. And I laugh at myself today because I went through a lot of unnecessary pain the first 6 years. Hey, Grandpa. Papa's here. I went through a lot of unnecessary drama and chaos. I kept getting into relationships when I got here. I kept thinking that it's so much easier to love you than it is to love myself. It's so much easier to take care of you than it is to take care of me. But that awareness wasn't there. Those first three relationships in recovery, being single for 4 months the first 6 years. Right? I just kept going and going and going and going. One would end, I'd feel horrible, and I'd latch on to the next thing that came in front of me. And, you know, I got to that point. I got to that point where I'm crying out to God, like, I'm tired of going through this stuff. Like, I'm in a self-made prison. In recovery. Like, I have a lot of freedom, but there's that one thing. And, again, through the process. Through the step work. Through a lot of honesty. I had to look at codependency in my life. Where I just need people around. I need a person, place, or thing to make me feel better. And it was real hard to look at. It was real hard to come to terms with I'm not as far as I thought I was on this journey. I felt like a newcomer. At 6 years clean, I just got engaged, and I was looking forward, but I wasn't looking right in front of me. I was so concerned about down the road that when shit blew up in my life, like, I was just holding on, man. It says in the literature, come hell or high water, we must just hold on. Sometimes that's all we can do. And I was tired of holding on. I was tired of fighting. And I cried out to God, and I got to my first apartment clean. 6 years clean, and I was so excited but so terrified. Because one part of me is like, I'm 30, 33 years old, I'm 6 years clean, and I'm still at mom's house. Like, I got to do something. Like, it says, take risks. Like, all the other times I lived by myself, it's never ended well. All the times I lived by myself, I've got into a deep depression. I can't be okay with who I am. So I went to that apartment, and I it was like, there was a lot of growth there. There was a lot of, I was so willing to get past this hurdle in my life and in my recovery. I stayed single for 14 months. You know? And it wasn't like I waited till 12 months and I was like, all right, I got a year single and now it's time. Like, I made a year and I was like, I'm not even thinking about it. Like, I got so comfortable by myself. I got so happy to go home to a place that I love and I could be at peace. So I was scared to get in another relationship. Even though I was like, that's my girlfriend now. I was scared. There was a lot of fear that I would just go right back to needing her, right? I need you. I'm not okay when you're not around, you know, so. But the whole, you know, I lived in shame and guilt, humiliation, for those things that happened to me when I was a kid. There was this, somebody told me, you're still living in the past, Zach. You got to let that stuff go. You know, I was just afraid to stand on my own 2 feet, like it talks about. I was afraid that I might just be okay. You know, I wasn't making decisions on my values. I was making decisions based on the way that I was going to feel. And like, I don't even think I probably could have interpreted all this stuff at 2 years clean. It probably wouldn't have made sense at 2 years clean or 1 year. It took me this long to get to, it took me all that pain. It says in Living Clean that there's no other area in our recovery that will bring us more pain or more joy than relationships. You know? And I need to say that the relationship with myself. I love myself today. I stand up here today happy, free. But it wasn't always like this. It wasn't always like this. I didn't think it was going to take all that damn work to get here. You know, it talks like there's no way that we can get to the core through one inventory. You know, and I don't want to be a book thumper, man, but I just love how it says that those of us who have worked this step, it's talking about the fourth step, we know. And it's one of the most loving things we can do for ourselves. You know, and I remember hearing Tomas share that talking about the third step, man, the proof of this step is shown in how we live. Like, I need to look at my life and look at what's going on. Like that, man, I've been on that for months now. Just, you know. So, damn, I locked myself up from 9 to 33. You know, and I remember being in physical jail and finding a way to have some peace and serenity and getting through it. And then being out and still being locked up. Like, I can't be happy out here in the streets. But somehow I found a way to be at peace being locked up. Like, that doesn't make sense. Says on page 72, we have many beginnings throughout our recovery, man. So at like 6 years clean, it was a new beginning. It was I was in a new apartment. I was jobless and penniless. And when I was in the fellowship, I was plugged in. I was going to meetings, just doing what we do. And the blessings started coming. But I had to go through that, like, uncomfortable, uncertain time. Like, I'm not going to run and get high, but damn it, I got to feel all this. You know, I have to be uncomfortable in a home group that I've been at in for 6 years, not because people are making me uncomfortable. I don't feel right in my own skin. You know? It says prayer helps us let go of our fear and to live in faith. I know without a doubt that the NA way this is what we do. We stay clean no matter what. And we get to the other side.
He's coming back.
You know?
He's coming back.
You know, it says it's instead of giving so much thought of why things happen, right? I'm thinking, why did I get engaged? Why did all that stuff start happening and then it fall apart? You know, maybe because it wasn't what God wanted for me to have. You know, maybe it wasn't in God's plan. I mean, obviously, right? You know, I'm still caught up on why things happen. It says we look for what we can learn. You know, thank God I went through that process. You know, because I am where I am today. It says, now if I find I can remember my higher power in the moment, my life becomes a prayer. My wisdom is activated in meditation, and I exist within the will of my higher power. I am spiritually free, the farthest from active addiction, and the closest to the pure joy of existence in the moment. Like, I talk about freedom. Talk about the topic of the convention, awakenings of the spirit. The journey continues, man. And that's, you know, I could lock myself up in low self-worth. I could lock myself up in maybe some inadequacy, like I'm not good enough. I can lock myself up in not loving how I look, wanting to be slimmer and thinner and all that crap that we just wish were different. But I need you guys, man. As long as I stay plugged in, it's been my experience that anybody is my teacher. If I'm open, I can hear the message. I can hear, you know, I can hear it. I get so caught up in myself. On page 80, Living Clean, it says, our experience is transformed into tools for healing and keys to compassion. You know, and our experience is transformed into tools to help others. You know, I'm grateful that I'm in position today to where God can use me. I remember my first convention, man. I was like, I fucking levitated in the main meeting, dude. It was a Lone Star Regional Convention, 2015, up in Grapevine, Texas. This dude from Brooklyn was sharing, and then this dude from Los Angeles was sharing, and it was like, I liked the way I felt, and I wanted more of it, and I still want more of it, and I still, like, that's my high, is coming here and getting juiced up on coffee and Red Bull, and just, right, come on, and just feeling good, like, I didn't claim to be miserable, man. That is not why I'm in Narcotics Anonymous, be miserable. Right. And I learned that I can be happy, jobless, homeless, and penniless. It's a choice. Like, I didn't get here with a job. I didn't get here with no home. And I definitely didn't get here with no money. So why, when I get some years clean, like, that shit's important. You know, obviously, you know, it is something that I strive for, but it's not a deal breaker, Victor, right? It's not that shouldn't be the key to my happiness is how much money I got, because I don't know about you guys, but I make some dumb decisions with money, right? I mean, that's one of my, whatever you want to call it, I fall short in that area. We get the real rewards of recovery by giving back and giving forward out of gratitude. Like that is why I'm here today. Not to fucking be a convention speaker, not to, hey, look, I'm speaking at HACNA. None of that ego stuff. I'm here because I'm grateful that I finally found you guys. That I finally found a new way to live. I finally feel like these are my people. Like, I have so much fun in recovery. Wow, shit, even on the way here, I guarantee you people who are using aren't having this much fun. I know for a fact. And so does everybody here. Fucking walking in here and seeing the elevators and like, oh, this is some high class shit up here. Fucking shoe shiner over there. Like, come on, man. Like, whoa. Like, this is cool. I don't even know how much time I got, but I think I'm close somewhat, huh? Okay. Page 81. My topic was on page 4, and I'm already on 81, right? So, but I'm in the literature. I was told that if I pull from the literature and share my experience, then that's the message. And it says, page 81, we arrive at Narcotics Anonymous hoping for survival. And what we find is love, courage, and a sense of connection and a sense of direction. All our lives we had looked for the peace and safety we experienced in recovery. As we seek our higher power's will for us, we come to an understanding of our purpose. Spiritual awakening is a process. You know, the convention, awakening of the spirit, it's a process. And everyone's is different. Maybe it is what the whole process is all about. We nurture our awakening spirits and know that we are finally free, man. I'm finally free. I'm 7.5 years clean and I'm finally free. I hope that's not your experience, but it's mine. It takes what it takes. It says we're finally free to live in grace, integrity, and dignity. Thank you for letting me share.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tess, and I am truly a grateful recovering addict today. You know, I first want to give our message. Our message is that an addict, any addict, could stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope, and the promise is freedom from active addiction. Because when it is all said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that is all we have to give. For a long time, I didn't feel like I was worthy of sharing. You know, my experience, strength, and hope. But that's all I have. Can't share his story. I can't share your story. I have to share my story. And he kind of began to where I was thinking about, you know, the topic. Our self-made prisons no longer serve us. Self-made. I did it. It didn't start that way. You know, I could piggyback a lot off of what you shared, because that's where I began. You know, when I made this prison, right, because when I was born, when I became old enough to know that I was different in situations from other kids, I never felt like I was good enough. I grew up having seizures. I grew up with a cyst on the side of my head. You know, I got teased with that, and I always felt different. So, you know, having these experiences had me locked into, you know, the perception of anything else. And then when I was 12 years old, some things happened to me that I didn't authorize. And when I began to talk about those things that happened to me that I didn't authorize, nothing happened. So, it's wrong and right is wrong. What I was taught when I were young, you know, don't do this, you don't let a guy do that, you know, you don't grow up, cross your legs, and all that other stuff that I was, the morals and values that I was taught when I was a young child. Then it get violated and I speak on it. And nothing happens. is right and wrong is right. I created this self-made prison. I always looked at the differences. I didn't think that I could unlock and get away because of fear, the shame and the guilt that you shared about. The embarrassment. Told you wasn't nothing gonna happen. So that's where mine started. Self-made prison. They said our disease was present way longer than I ever picked up a drug. So this, all this stuff was created, right? And so then when I become of age, I didn't become of age when I was 14. Growing up in a family of drinkers. I shared this before, being my husband was talking about, there was always a cup of. It was always a cup of in the house. A cup of wine, a cup of beer, a cup of gin. So I began to have a cup of. And guess what? All that stuff that happened to me when I was younger, man, it was made me forget about all that stuff and think about it less. And made me think that when you looked at me and admired me, that wasn't so bad. Because maybe this is what I needed. I mean, my protectors didn't say anything about it. I grew up like, well, I was in the house, stays in the house, and it just didn't get talked about. So when I found alcohol, oh my gosh. You know, I was able to numb the feelings of all this stuff. Have alcohol, marijuana, pills, whatever. Man, I was able to escape and stay in that prison for a long time. But guess what? I can't put it on you because I was at a party and you said here. I was angry and mad for a long time because I'm like, why would she give me something that's laced? Knowing what crack do, why would she do that? It wasn't until I became a member of Narcotics Anonymous and I went to, you know, I began to talk about some of this stuff with my sponsor. You had a choice. Self-made. You had a choice. You didn't have to take it. You had a choice in everything that you put in your body that caused your demise, that brought you to Narcotics Anonymous. I had a choice. And when I first heard that, I didn't come here for that. I just want to stop using dope. I didn't come to take a look at myself and my choices that I made with my life, because it was always your fault. Because of the things that happened, man. Listen, we're talking about self-made prison. And not just talking about once I get here, I still stayed in this self-made prison. Yes, when I came to the first meeting, y'all was sharing some things that I thought that I would never have the courage to share and talk about. But having a little hope, being willing first to surrender, and then being, y'all was my higher power. Y'all was something that I needed to see that this thing was working in. And then it gave me courage. But when y'all was talking about all this stuff, then I turned the key a little bit to come out a little bit more. To get out this prison. Talking about using, you know, you talk about this radius. I'm only going here. I go there. I do my thing here. I'm in fucking Texas today. I got up at 7 a.m. to do yoga.
Come on.
I was a little late, but I made it. Things that I thought that I would never be able to do, just the simple things. I ain't even get to the stuff. You listen, it say, I was so excited when it said this. And I'm like, oh my God, self-made prison, because you know, we overthink stuff. What we gonna share? Well, we gonna share. Self-made prison no longer serve us. We are free to explore and discover what we are good at. I knew how to sing a little bit, you know, and I would never project my voice growing up. Ooh, Tess, sing this song. And so I knew that I enjoyed singing, but I would never project my voice and stuff. I was still kind of like shy. But when I sang when I was younger, I didn't even know that I could sing the way that I did until after I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't even know that I would have even the courage to, you know, drive. I ain't start driving until I was 30. I got clean at 28 and a half. I didn't even start driving until I was 30. It talks about having the courage, man. We are free to participate, create. I love to dance. I love poetry. I love to sing. And that is what I use as far as my my service here in Narcotics Anonymous. It say, get in here and find your niche. And man, when I came here, I thank God that they were having the fellowship part where I was able to venture out and go to dances and see you guys having fun, because I like that. And it said, we are free to participate, create, care, and share, and surprise ourselves. What? You finally got a license. You bought a car cash. Wow. At 2 years clean, what? Y'all, I was so scared. It talked about how it gives us courage, man, when we come here. I was so scared to go to treatment the last time because I told y'all I didn't drive. I got a boyfriend that had a car. My daddy took me everywhere. And then when I became of age to start learning how to drive, I'd rather have a cup of. I was too drunk. I wasn't even interested in it. I just, you know, I got around. I didn't have the courage to do none of the stuff that I came in. But after I got her, we're talking about this self-made prison. I'm talking about courage. We already have my disease of addiction lies in my thinking. And if it lies in my thinking, you shared about this too. How I could tell myself I'm not worthy of. I'm not good enough. So I stay in this prison some type of way because I'm scared to venture out and try things. I see people going back to school. I see people doing all this other stuff that I'm scared of because I'm scared of failure. And I'm fearful of rejection. I damn sure don't like a rejection. Abandonment issues. You know, if you leave me, then please don't leave me. I swear I'm worthy. Abandonment issues started way before I came to Narcotics Anonymous as well. Because, you know what, going to school, I end up going back to school, y'all. And one of the assignments was doing something they called a lostology. And then where you go back to your earliest recollection about some losses that you had in your life. And I'm like, wow, oh, wow. First was a dog at the age of 9, and then at 14, my grandma passed away. 17, my oldest brother got murdered. Okay. A few years after that, one of my brothers died of kidney failure. Okay, a nephew passed away of AIDS. Okay. And so I wrote this. This is so much more. I've lost 4 brothers. I have 5. 4 gone and 1 sister, you know. And then after I come here, I still have these abandonment issues, man. Please don't leave me. And, you know, it says in our literature, man, and recovery and relapse to talk about the loss, all the stuff that we go through, jobless, penniless, and things like that, right? And so when these things began to happen to me after I got clean, you know, I'm still slowly unlocking that self-made prison because I'm taking chances now. I'm believing that I can stay clean. I'm believing that we do recover around here. I'm believing that I don't have to use no matter what or who I lost. I was on a pink cloud for 2 years when I first got here. Got this car, got my GED. I got, you know, I was in a recovery house. I got a job. Then all of a sudden I got pregnant and I had a sick daughter with 2 years clean. At 4 years clean, I had a son that was born without arms. That the doctor was like, we'll abort him. No, he'll be 18 December 1st. And 2005, my oldest sister died of breast and lung cancer. 2006, my mom passed away. 2010, my father passed away. And after that, I lost 2 brothers, right? So we're talking about the rejection and abandonment. And I somewhat still stayed locked up. I still kind of want to protect my heart. I still don't always, all the way want to let you in because I don't want you to leave me. Making dumb decisions, it say, listen, I kind of went another way once I got clean and worked a few steps, right? I kind of went another way and stopped coming around. And they say, we don't make good decisions on a consistent basis. And I made some bad decisions. Hell, this literature talks about what was cool for us in the beginning. It's not good. It doesn't fit me no more. The things that I accepted when I first got clean, based off all the stuff that happened, you can't come up to me and rub my ass and hit me on my... You can't do certain stuff that I accepted and said, stop, in the beginning. I'm not the same person anymore. I am not the same person. I have grown so much in this process. I still dance, but when I first got here, you talking about some of them yoga poses this morning. That's how I danced. And I did that for a long time. Dancing, that's just what I love to do, right? And so, as I stayed around her and I had women to pull me to the side and say, you don't have to do that. You know, it's another way. I had to become open-minded. Let's talk about that to get out this self-made prison. You got to be open-minded to even get some information, to learn something different, to do something different, to continue to unlock that damn, to get out of being entrapped. So I was willing to learn a different way. I was willing to, you know, I used to dance to kick off my shoes and dance. And this lady pulled me to say, hey, sweetie, listen, you're a diva. You had the courage to wear these heels. You just going to have to, you know, keep them damn shoes on and dance. We don't do that. We don't take our shoes out. No, you can either keep them on. Wear tennis next time. Or, you know, whatever it was. But I was like, okay, I need to learn how to, you know. But anyway, man, in this process, I've grown a lot. This self-made prison, man, it don't no longer serves me. What seemed like the worst decisions at one time in our recovery opened the door for some of our greatest opportunities later on. Man, and even though I had all these losses and stuff, I had some good things that happened to me. I told you I got my GED, went back and got my associates, went back and got my bachelor's, went back and got a master's degree. I was scared for a long time, man, because I didn't want to fail. I don't want to take a leap of faith. I want to stay locked in because education wasn't very important in my family. Hell, my mama had, she was pregnant from 14 to 40. She had me at 41. So education was not at the top of the list of, you know, having these values of going to school, staying in school. Later on, I heard it. But by the time I heard it and my daddy kept saying it to me, you know, I was already drinking and doing what I was doing. Yeah, okay. You know. But it became important to me. I always wanted to go back to school. I've always wanted to do some other things. And it says in here, man, keys to freedom. Do what you want to do. We walk through fear and wake up to the miracles that surround us. I became self-sufficient. I got my own place and I started, you know, taking that leap of faith. And I'm so grateful. You know, making them dumb decisions. I'm on my second marriage. First marriage, you know, what was cool for me in the beginning. Oh, I just want to feel good. I want you all over me. I want to feel the love and affection, and I want to have great sex. That's all I ask for. That's it. Just live. That's it. Just stay up under me. I ain't know his ass was going to be a bum, so be careful with what you pray for. Damn. You know, I didn't say nothing like what I asked for the second time around. I asked for God-fearing man. I wanted somebody in recovery because the other one wasn't in recovery. Oh, you could just do you, boo. I'm in recovery. You know, God-fearing, self-sufficient, in recovery, loving and caring, not just for my body. You talked about never been alone. I always had some damn body. And I can't even say that I ever really been alone. I've always been in previous relationships. I'm in a relationship today. Listen, I didn't give myself a lot of leeway before that other thing ended. Hold on, way past the expiration date, right? He was in the basement for a year, and I was upstairs, and we was basically separated. Really didn't, can't say I really was by myself, you know. So I did kind of face a small, rough road when I got into this other relationship with my husband. I understood why it was important to take some time for yourself. Get to know who you are, like they tell us in the beginning. Know what you like, what I don't. But I know at this time, point of time, I know what love wasn't. I know what I didn't want based off of my previous. I knew it probably had to be the opposite. And no, he wasn't a damn rebound, like maybe some people thought. So, each of us has periods of intense growth and times when change is more subtle. Having a new way to live means that we have to live in new ways, and we can get confused or lost even when we have many years clean. Listen, I was lost with many years clean. Right before I met him, I had 19 wants, and I owed 8 different municipalities. I still was kind of locked in this self-made prison about, you know, my survival skills had never really changed. I was just clean for a long time. And I still was kind of living. I wasn't around her. I wasn't practicing spiritual principles. I wasn't really working. My recovery was stagnated. So I still was indulging in certain type of activities or didn't care. You know, I thought I could put some, you know, fake tags. I didn't, you know, my license had got revoked and all this stuff happened. But listen, I ain't going to say in my defense, when my daughter passed away, I didn't go smoke no dope. But I kind of was like, fuck life. You know, I was just out there. Today, I'm not like that, man. I'm responsible. I have insurance. Everything is right on my car. I pay my bills, man. I do the right thing, even when nobody's looking. I have some integrity today. This is the keys of freedom. The key to freedom. This is what our topic is in, keys to freedom. I have freedom today. My ass cheeks ain't got to get tight when I'm driving past the police. That's freedom in that. It's freedom in having your own place. It's freedom for me to go to sleep at night knowing that I have not harmed nobody. I can sleep peacefully tonight. It's keys to freedom. In this program, it's keys to freedom. Man, if you just take some simple suggestions. Wow. You began to share because you went back like I began to go back. And I'm like, wow, he's touching on it, hitting what I wanted to, man. I truly understand when people say, man, if I'd have wrote down what I expect to get out this program, I'd have shortchanged myself because my expectations wasn't high. I just wanted to stop hurting. I just wanted to stop hurting. I just wanted to stop being taken advantage of. I just kind of, you know what I used to pray to God for when I was younger? God, why do you have to give me such a soft heart? Why do I care so much? Why do I let people walk over me? Why am I so forgiving? Today, I'm still forgiving of people. Sometimes my husband be like, girl, how? People is just people. And our literature also says, you know, look, we sick people. All of us got things that we need to work on. You know, different left. Thank God everybody ain't dealing with the same thing at one time or accomplished things at the same time. Because where will we get our hope from? I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We all make mistakes. And I could be okay with who I am today. I'm just now getting to that. You said 7 years. I have 22 years clean. My clean date is August 18th of 2000. But at 11 years clean, you talk about 7 making these mistakes, you know? I'm glad this is a program of, okay, you got 2 weeks to do this step. You got 2 weeks to get a sense of gratitude. You got 2 weeks to learn how to trust again. You got... No. I'm glad that the only requirement for membership was you couldn't wear shorts and just short skirts to come up in the damn place. I've never made it. I'm glad the requirement for membership was not you had to have all this money and cash, because I didn't have that. I just had a desire to stop using. And then I began to lose the desire, and then I found a new way to live. I didn't know that I had to stop first. I wanted to lose the desire first and then stop. That's not how I go, Tess. But when the pain of remaining the same gets greater than the pain of change, it's the only time I'm going to do something different. In any situation, stop using dope in a relationship. God damn it, if I'm struggling and I want to do something and, you know, shopping too much, whatever, in any area, the pain has to get great. Most of the time, we have to be beaten. Okay, I surrender. I mean, for me, most of the time I have to be beaten, man, before I say, okay, this don't feel good anymore. I can't take no more. I surrender. And that's what I did, so. I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful that God gave me an opportunity to get my life to live two lifestyles in one lifetime. Because if I hadn't, man, I couldn't be an inspiration to nobody. You know, I stayed clean. You know, I got to be there for my children. You know, a couple people, my brother passed away. He ended up getting clean, coming to Narcotics Anonymous. My sister did. She never came to Narcotics Anonymous, but, you know. And then I have a son that's coming up on 18 months clean. Woo! And, you know, I'm not happy about some of the decisions he make, that behavior piece, but I struggled with it a long time. But I know, just like with myself and any one of us in here, as long as I stay clean, as long as he stay clean, as long as you stay clean, anything is possible. Change is possible. Just don't pick up. I have to allow people their process like people allow me my process. Am I done? How much time I got? Really? Okay. Well, that don't mean I have to share that long. So what happened? I guess I could talk about this, right? After them 19 once. Getting out of that, breaking out of that, unlocking that, going, taking some simple suggestions, paying off all this stuff. That's what I began to do. And guess what? I began to come back around to Narcotics Anonymous because I had to go back to the basics. Because I stopped coming around here. I would only show up when it's, you know, entertainment time and like the different tragedies that happened in my life. I knew where to get my lifeline at. I began to come to meetings and I share about all these things that happened, you know, but I would never stay for the solution. And then I let shame and guilt come over me because a lot of people didn't know me with 11 years clean because I wasn't coming around that much. And you know, and what happened was the God of my understanding said, Tess, you need to help somebody else. So I began, I got another sponsor. I began to work. What could I do? That could work for a newcomer. That could work for anybody that has been stagnated in their recovery. It's always a refresher. I read, what could I do? You can start back going to meetings. You can start doing some service work tests. You can start helping other people, you know, other than yourself. And that's where the true freedom for me came in. Helping other people. Just sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And so at that point, I began, you know, to flourish in this thing. I've been clean since 2000, but I've really been in recovery for the past 10 years, 10, 12 years for real. And I'm not going back. I'm not locking myself up in this self-made prison. It took a while, God, to get out of a lot of things that I had going on in my mind that the disease was telling me once I got here, y'all don't like me. You know, she looking on me, I'll see somebody whispering and y'all talking about me. Hating asses. It either go that way or it'll go the other way. Why y'all talking about me? Why y'all don't like me? Everybody ain't gonna like you, Tess. And most of the time, it ain't even nothing that you did. It's the go work a step. Shit. Go work a step. Talk to your sponsor about it. It ain't about me most of the time. I know today, man, listen, I don't intentionally harm no one. I don't. I sleep well at night because I know I don't intentionally harm no one. So when I come in contact with other people, I'm very loving and caring. If they have an issue with me, then it's their shit. It's not mine. It's not mine. I don't want to harm people today. And if I've done anything or said anything, please let me know. Sometimes I get caught up in my head. Oh, she ain't hugged me. Man, look, if y'all anything like me, I come in the meeting, I be so locked and loaded and the obsession, my mind be everywhere. So I don't take it personal. Hey, I can't get no, oh, girl, I'm all in my head. Most of the time, that's what I heard. I'm all in my head. I ain't even see. I wasn't even tripping. I saw you, but I'm all locked and loaded in my own thoughts and stuff. Because I know I could be like that. Oh, okay. But again, I continue to work the steps, man, and I'll continue to get better. I'm closing the way that I normally close. You see me shine through all around me where I go. People always tried to judge me, really they didn't know. Some saw me shine through the tragedies that tore my heart of losing my mom and child to death only months apart. I know y'all wondering when those occurred how I stay strong. Well, I had meetings, support systems, and God. I talked to them when I was alone. Some saw me shine through the darkest night of my addiction. I struggled with that shit for years. I could do some venting. And I could tell you stories to put the worst lad to shame. Crack was my sergeant. I was the private. It made me march in the rain. It made me follow him and leave my kids day and night. One day, I got some courage and stabbed his ass and ran for life. I thank God for that because without him, I couldn't have done it. He told me, hold on, the storm is gone and now the sun is coming. I can see the reasons why. Some people may look at me and feel envy because I have a lot of gratitude in me. It don't take a lot to please me. I don't need Gucci, Prada, nor Fendi, but just some peace of mind within me. Not to get it twisted like candy in a wrapper. I do like nice things, but my disease will tell me the things I need to do to get them. It could lower my self-esteem. The point I'm trying to make, family, is that we all go through some shit sometimes. But it's the way we handle our situations that makes us really shine. Thank you. All right.